Welcome to my lobotomy! It's lobotomy hour! Are you ready? Are you ready? We're gonna lobotomy. This is how I feel! This is how I feel after this album. I'm awake! I'm barely awake. I barely slept. Hello! I'm running on fumes. Somebody is in this chat going in early labor, and they are here for the tortured poets department assessment. I'm so honored. I need a lobotomy, and you need to have this baby. So, Jenny, I hope you're ready to rumble, baby. I am. Good luck. Don't start pushing yet. Not yet. But when I tell you, go. And if you could, join the live, and then we'll be there for you. All of us are here for you, Jenny. Just put your husband or somebody, you know, on call to comment on your behalf of what's happening in your labor. It is lobotomy hour. Has anyone else decided that they need to sign up for a lobotomy in the last 12 hours because, I knew something was going to be happening at, you know, the 2 a.m. mark. I didn't expect this much, and so I was going in wanting to listen to this album, you know, and I was so excited. I definitely did. I was bad, and I listened to a few leaks ahead of time, but you know what? I don't care. I'm a senior Swiftie. I've been here the longest. I can dibble. I can dabble. I can listen to a few bootleg songs early, okay? So I did do that, and I'm not going to let any of you come for me. Not letting any of you come for me. So I got a little taste test, and then, you know, I went to a listening party. My friends and I, we listened to the full album, okay? And then I'm like, maybe we're gonna get like two extra songs. That's what I was thinking. No, this chick had been telling us from the get-go, two albums. And so she releases, and it's like 1 a.m. I'm like still processing, trying to listen to all this music. I had to get up at the crack of dawn this morning and get fully ready, do extensions, put fake eyelashes on, like do the thing. You know, sometimes I don't really try. And you know, how I look at work and whatever. It's just like when you're on camera this much, at some point you just kind of give up whenever it's like you doing it yourself. But like this morning there was no makeup artist available. It was all me. So I had to wake up. I barely got any sleep. Had to go on Megyn Kelly, do that. Then I had a spillover interview. Now I'm doing this. Like, I haven't even eaten anything since dinner last night. Like, I'm running on fumes. And because of all of this crazy, I have not even prepared. Usually I write myself notes, like, to keep myself, like, you know, a little tethered to reality. I'm not tethered to reality today. I am unhinged, and I'm just going to be letting it flow. And what I really need, I need this to be a collaborative effort in the department because I don't have a show plan for this live. It's either going to be really good or really bad. So I got my leg up, and I am comfy and ready to dish. So here's the sitch. You guys need to be, when I ask you, like, have some questions ready for me to, like, answer about the album. And when I'm going to be like, okay, question time, then I'll go through your question. But what my plan, as I'm going, I'm thinking that my plan is just, I'm going to start with track one, and we're just going to, like, I'm going to go through my thoughts of each one, and we'll kind of, like, look through the lyrics. I'll tell you who I think the song is about and all that kind of stuff. That's the only thing I know how to do right now without no plan. Now, one thing is that in the next 48 hours, I'm going to be writing a really, like, well-thought-out review of the two albums for Evie Magazine. So if you are not a monthly subscriber to Evie, you need to be so you can support your girl's article, and I'm going to, like, write something really beautiful and thoughtful. But right now, we're unhinged! Lobotomy! Drop your eyes in the chat that are prime for lobotoming. All right, now, let's just go ahead and start here. Fortnite, featuring Post Malone. I'm gonna be completely honest with you. Until this music video comes out tonight, which, guys, we're getting a music video in a few hours. I feel like a crackhead getting her fix. This is like the ultimate. I can't even explain to you. There's so much going on. I feel like I could write a memoir about the last 12 hours of everything I've experienced and my excitement, because this is Swiftie crack. We are riding high. We are freaking ready. Like, this is everything. Oh, it's just everything. So the one thing is with Fortnite, this is a song that I'm like, I don't really understand. And I feel like that's because what we need to know about the song is going to commence in the music video in a few hours. So after this live, you know, we all have to get back together and we're all going to be watching and reacting to the Fortnite music video at 5 p.m. or 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. for me. I get things early. So Fortnite, a few things that stood out to me, obviously in the first few seconds, Taylor Swift revealing that she was a functioning alcoholic. That is huge. And I think that this line might be, you know, alluding to a lot of stuff on Midnights, which kind of talk about her drinking different occasions and kind of numbing with alcohol. I think that her dealing with everything that she's gone through between Joe, Maddie, it was all just like a whirlwind, and I think she was using alcohol to cope. Now, to be fair, and I love Taylor Swift, but I will say this as a Swiftie and diehard fan. It's interesting that she chose to say this line because I do think Taylor drinks a lot. I just, you know, obviously we don't know her and we don't see her in her personal life, but like, she might honestly be a functioning alcoholic all the time, not just in this, you know, in this one moment of going through the breakups. I mean, this girl can put it away. I'm just telling you. It's like she is not at a social function where she's not drinking. She has not gotten the mocktail memo that mocktails are in for this year. Am I right? So, like, I was a little worried about her. But it's interesting because between Midnights and the Tortured Poets Department, she is revealing so many private things about her. We found out about her eating disorder in the last album. We're now finding out that she had this, like, what she's calling a brief stint with alcoholism, you know? So that's pretty juicy. This is the part that I really want to hear your thoughts on. It's one of the biggest hangups I have lyrically on the entire album is within this first song. And that is when she says, and for a fortnight, there we were, forever running, till you sometimes ask about the weather. Now you're in my backyard, turned into good neighbors. Your wife waters flowers. I want to kill her. What does this mean? I'm like, is the music video good to explain this? What does this mean? Okay, genius, lyrics genius, says to water flowers, metaphorically speaking, is to tend to one's responsibilities. So contrast this stable wife with Taylor or the narrator, the ex who, by her own admission, has become a functioning alcoholic. The line, I want to kill her, then, doesn't come from nowhere. The new wife is unfazed. Taylor is mad. This is so deep. This is the thing with Taylor Swift. People want to, like, pigeonhole her that are not true Swifties with, like, shake it off. You know, I knew you were trouble. That's what they think of as Taylor Swift. The reality is this girl is like Freud and, you know, Aristotle, wink, wink, which we'll get to. It's like, it takes months to truly understand the things that she's getting at in her lyrics. It's so layered and deep. And this album was like a whirlwind because this girl spoke a million miles a minute. I don't think there's ever been a Taylor Swift album with so many words. I mean, I'm like looking at the lyrics like there's so much to process and I'm not even close. So forgive me, but we're all processing together. Am I right? So that's what I will say about Fortnite. There's not too much to say in the song. I think it's the vibe I'm getting is it's trying to set up the album and the themes of the album entirely. And that's what the music video is going to show. So there may not be so much deep as it's really just like a thesis of like, OK, what is this album going to be about and the themes? Right. OK. You know, as far as Post Malone on the song, I was expecting a little bit more, I think. But now, like, with the whole debacle with Lana Del Rey on Snow on the Beach on Midnights and all that kind of stuff, like, everyone was upset she didn't have enough Lana. So then she releases another song. She's like, okay, I put more Lana on it. You know, I had her come back and record another verse. I think that there was a little less posty flavor influence than I was expecting. So. Okay, does anyone have anything to say? And my team is going to have to help me because the chat's a million miles a minute and so you're going to have to help me. Did anybody have any answers for what they think this song is about? Yeah, Morgan's like, it's so hard for me to understand what all the words mean. And it's funny because, you know, Taylor Nation posted, they were like, get your dictionary out. You're going to need a dictionary for this album release. And so they were not playing around. Okay, so they think that she's referring to self-medication. And maybe Maddie Healy was a form of self-medication for her, right? Like, that was her rebound. But to her, it ended up being a true rebound. But to her, she was really going into, which we're going to get into it. I'm getting ahead of myself. But she was really going into this Maddie Healy relationship thinking, like, no, this is... The timing is right now. We can finally be together. We've always wanted to be together. Like, she thought this was, like, the medicine. This was the solution for, you know, her woes with Joe. She had been working towards this. All right. I think, well, according to Lyrics Genius, genius.com or whatever, they're saying that this is a metaphor that Taylor is both the wife and the mad ex, whatever that means. So maybe she's looking at herself before and after. Maybe this is like she's looking at herself, like her past self, and she's seeing her like happy in this relationship, and she's watering flowers, and she's like taking care of the garden, and she's, I'm processing this out loud. So you know what? This could be absolute like dog crap of an analysis, but maybe she's like watching herself tend to this relationship that she knows is going to die anyway. And so she's mad and she's like, I just want to kill this girl, meaning herself. I want to kill this girl because she's clueless. She's wasting so much time. This whole thing is dumb. You know what I mean? So that's Fortnite. That's what I want to spend on Fortnite. Okay, I'll give you a recap on Maddie and Taylor's relationship. Just give me a moment. I'm going through the songs, people. I'm going through the songs. We have to start from the beginning here in order. Okay. Again, I didn't write any of my notes out ahead of time. I have had no time in the last few hours with everything going on to actually, like, prepare a show like I normally would. So we're making this happen. Okay, next song is The Tortured Poets Department. This song is about Maddie Healy. And I believe this song is setting up the fact that this entire album, essentially, is about Maddie Healy. So I am a Maddie truther for the Tortured Poets Department in the way that I think that this song is, or this album is literally his album. I think that there is hardly any Joe at all. That was like the big surprise from her, is that there was really no Joe. She set us up. She got the public thinking like this is our Joe album. But the reality is, and Swifties know this, and we should have thought about this, we just thought maybe she was going to do more. But the reality is that we got our Joe Alwyn breakup album. And it was half Evermore. And it was Midnights. Midnights, there was a few songs about other people. But Midnights was really her getting into this mindset of, okay, I am starting to think that this relationship is dead on arrival. And I think it's ending. And then, you know, like she's like processing, like maybe we've had a glitch. Like, why am I thinking I want to like be out of this relationship? And then it does end, right? She releases You're Losing Me in between the Tortured Poets Department coming out and Midnight's coming out. She releases the song You're Losing Me, which is totally explaining the end of the Joe relationship and what all happened, right? That's the full blown explanation of like, okay, now we broke up and now here is why. And then she moves on because the next thing that happens in her life is Maddie. And we had these songs, but none of us knew. We just thought she's just making up things, you know, in like Tolerate It, for example, in Evermore. We just thought she's just like writing about like made up things. No, Tolerate It was about Joe. She was freaking struggling. This relationship has been on life support for years. The writing was on the wall. She knew it was coming. It was just a matter of when. It was going to be a matter of who was going to be the first one to say the words, it's actually over. We cannot keep this going. And I think that Joe probably had a huge sigh of relief, like, oh my gosh, listen to this. He's probably like, what? He probably simultaneously had a sigh of relief and then simultaneously also was thinking, so you're telling me the whole like end of our relationship, you were just pining for Maddie and like thinking like, I can't wait till I get to finally be with Maddie, like, which is kind of like, that's kind of hurtful. You know what I mean? But anyway, The Tortured Poets Department, track two. She says, you're in self-sabotage mode. You're throwing spikes on the road. But I've seen this episode and I still love the show. Who else decodes you? Me. I know how you do this. Like, I've seen you, like, we've been friends for a decade. We've been close friends for a decade. You've seen me with my boyfriends. I've seen you date various girls. I know how you are. And guess what? Because I've been here the entire time, I'm the one that can handle this, right? So, you know, I can fix him. No, really, I can. She's telling herself, like, I know he's crazy, but, like, I'm the one that gets him. I'm the one that can deal with the crazy, until she realizes she can't, of course. There was some, like, really deep imagery, which, again, I didn't, like, comb through Twitter and, like, mark down all the things that people are saying. But you need to look up the Dylan Thomas, Patti Smith, who they were, why this is important, because that's, like, a big tell. And then I thought this was hilarious. The "you smoked, then ate 7 bars of chocolate. We declared Charlie Puth should be a bigger artist." I mean, that's super funny because, I mean, I don't. Like, who thinks Charlie Puth should be a bigger artist? But, you know, Matty Healy, obviously known for smoking, known for drugs, known for chain smoking cigarettes. He has a song called Chocolate. And bars could be referring to that track as lines in a song. Also, Chocolate by the 1975 is about weed. So he's, yeah. Okay. When Taylor says, "I chose this cyclone with you," you know, that's a tornado, right? I'm choosing the storm with you. So she's saying the media storm, everybody saying that we shouldn't be together, my fans hating you, like, I'm choosing it. So she's saying, I'm here. I'm ready to do this. Like, you're more than a rebound to me. I want this to be a real relationship. I don't care what anyone says, which, of course, we find out later in Daddy, I Love Him. Okay, so that is that. That's the Torture Poets Department. She is saying this whole thing, the whole Torture Poets Department, he's a tortured poet, she's a tortured poet. And they are in this department together. So this is their story. This is their album. Let's go to track 3. Which is "My Boy Only Breaks His Favorite Toys." This is up in the air for me. I'm curious what you think. Is this Maddie or is this about Joe? So she kind of says in her iHeartRadio. So if you don't know, last night at midnight, iHeartRadio goes through the entire album. And between each song, they had a blurb from Taylor, which you'll have to go back and listen to. Somebody's posted it on TikTok. She gives a blurb about what the meaning of every song is. You know, this, like, overarching theme of the song. And she said, like, this is the perspective of child's toys and how, like, everyone in a new relationship, you're so excited about a toy. And, like, you break it. You play with it so hard that you finally break it. And then you're done with it. And you move on from that toy, right? And then you go and you find a new toy. I think this could be about either Joe or Maddie, because it really works with either one. Because Joe could have easily been like, I'm so excited about you, you know, everything in the beginning. And then we learn from this album that he, well, I think we learn a little bit in the last few albums that he was really elevating, like, his sadness and depression and whatever, his mental health crap, above Taylor and above their relationship. So Taylor's, you know, in the bridge of this song, she's like, well, once I fix me, he's going to miss me. And I think I loved that. It was so relatable because every girl is like that. When you get into these relationships where it's like you're going through these moments where he's pulling away, and you're the girl as a woman, I think we always want to put the blame on herself. We're like, it's all me. If I fix me, then he's going to miss me. Like, if I can be the best version of me, if I get the haircut, if I get the self-tan, you know, if I lose weight, if I get new wardrobe, if I post, like, the best Instagram selfie ever, like, he's going to miss me because I'm the new version of myself. Like, I fix myself. Like, I look like a new toy now. He's going to want to play with me again. But he doesn't. And the part that the outro of the song makes me think that maybe this is Maddie, because she says, he was my best friend down at the sand lot. I felt more when we played pretend than with all these Kens. So she's talked about switching out these Kens and stuff before, which are her boyfriends. And the the imagery here of he was my best friend at the Sandlot. It's like we've been best friends since we were kids. Because the Sandlot's like where you play as a kid, like at the park. And they weren't literally kids, but they were just younger. You know, this is 10 years ago. So it's like, oh, we were just kids. We were in our early 20s. We were friends. We had this like flirty. I think there was like a big like sexual tension thing between them. She was so attracted to his personality. Like they just had that chemistry. And so it was always this elephant in the room of like, what if? And they, in like imagining for her, she would play pretend in her mind all these years of like, what if I ended up with him? And she says, you know, I felt more when we played pretend because you took me out of my box. So I was like protected and I was doing this. You take me out of my toy box and then you steal my tortured heart. So like he rescues her from Joe. He tells her, like, okay, I'm finally ready for this relationship. Let's do the real thing. She ends this relationship with Joe. Maddie acts like he's ready for this. And then he steals her heart because she's like, I'm all in. And then he ends up ghosting her and ending things. And then she's just left with all of these. Now she's even more broken than before because she thought, like, okay, I'm broken from Joe and I'm heartbroken from this. But now I have you. Like, you are the remedy. Let's, like, do life together. Finally, after all of these years, like, this is our moment. Like, our timelines align. And then it just doesn't. And then she says, you know, he left all these broken parts, told me I'm better off, but I'm not. So he ghosts her, probably the media storm, sees how the media is saying, like, you're dating this psycho, racist, horrible, problematic guy. We hate him. He's ugly. All of these things. And Taylor was the one saying, I don't care what they say. I want to be with you. Listen to me. I am choosing the storm with you. And he said, you're better off without me. Now I'm going to lose you. So now she's been dumped twice within like 6 months. So now she's even worse. So between May and July, those couple months there in early summer before Travis Kelce gets into the picture, Taylor is not well. She is not okay. And people might have thought it was because of Joe, but it wasn't. She'd like processed Joe. Now she's like been through a double breakup and it's from Maddie Healy. How are we doing? Am I doing okay? Am I keeping everyone, like, everybody's engaged? Everybody's, like, buying what I'm saying? The chat's too fast. Like, I can't even, what's the vibe? Am I analyzing this at least decently? Down Bad. So, Down Bad is going to be in my top three favorites. Absolutely love this song. This is such an Alex song. This is, like, scream in my car. Like, obsessed with it. Like, I relate to this so much. So in her iHeartRadio synopsis where she says what Down Bad is about, she says, imagine that you're like living on this other planet and these aliens come. This is what she says. She says these aliens come and they rescue you from your planet. And they're like, we're going to show you another life. And it's kind of like Stockholm syndrome at first. You're kind of like, ooh, I don't know. Like, this is making me nervous. But then you fall in love with your captor and you're like, oh, okay, I think I can like this new planet. Like, I think I can do this. I'm enjoying alien life. And then they're like, actually just joking. And then like, take you and drop you in your hometown. And they're like, you're back to where you came from. And you're like, but wait, I was starting to like it there. That to me is Maddie Healy again. She saw him. He comes in, rescues her, plucks her out, and she's nervous at first because of the media storm, but then she decides she's okay with it, and then he is, like, just joking and then drops her back in the middle of it. And so she's pissed. And that's what I really like about this album is that so much of this album, we're seeing this really angry side of Taylor, and it's, like, sarcastic and it's mature. She's been getting more mature, I think, with starting with Folklore. We saw such a new mature side of her. But this album, more than ever, she's talking so much about religion. She's talking so much about marriage and kids and how badly she wants this and how she was excited for this. She's talking about, she's writing in this like really sarcastic, self-deprecating way, which was so interesting for her. She's so witty. She's so funny. Which we'll get to. But Down Bad, everything comes out, teenage petulance, F it if I can't have him, I might just die, it would make no difference. Like, you're mad, you know, you're, like, so angry, and you're like, screw it, like, I don't even want to live anymore, like, it doesn't even matter, like, if I can't even have him, then, I mean, this life isn't even worth living. Like, we've all been there after a breakup, which I love. And so, see, she's, like, staring at the sky, come back and pick me up. There's that alien imagery of, like, I'm staring at the sky, like, well, come back, like, I don't want to be here without you. That's probably like a good synopsis for this song. Interesting about New Romantics, the parallels between her song New Romantics, which is a bonus track from 1989, and this one, where she says, I loved your hostile takeovers, encounters closer and closer, all your indecent exposures. How dare you say that it's, and this part I like. So she goes, how dare, you know, closer, exposure, how dare that you say that it's, and it's obvious that she wants to say over, but it's like, you can't even say it. You can't even say the word over because you're so in denial about this breakup. So I love that, what she did there in the song where she doesn't even say the word over because she can't even bring herself to say it because she's so down bad. Like, don't even make me say that it's actually over. I can't say the word. She goes, I'll build you a fort on some planet where they can all understand it. So she's like, I don't care that they don't like you again. I will protect you. I will build a fortress. How dare that you think it's romantic leaving me safe and stranded. But in New Romantics, right? Am I getting my songs messed up? It is New Romantics, right? Where she says, it's so romantic. Just leave me stranded. Or something like that. I am correct, right? So I'm like, that's interesting. Is there, was there some Mattie Healy-ness going on even way back then in 1989? That's why people are confused. People that are not, have not been Swifties for, you know, for 10 plus years, the Mattie Healy lore is old. We've known that he's been a part of her life. There's always been rumors that there was something going on there, that they had like this flirty friendship. They just hadn't publicly dated. That's why, like, you see her like holding his hand in public and all that stuff for those couple months. Like, she was like showing, I'm here for you. I'm publicly willing to be seen with you. I don't care that everybody's like against it. So anyway, Love, one of my favorites. So Long, London. Now, this song, I think, has a little bit there could be Joe, there could be Maddie, both. I think that this song might be, like, because London in general, I mean, London is where all these guys, like, live. You know what I mean? Like, all of these guys are British. So she's like, I think she's talking about both Joe and Maddie in this song. Personally, I'm curious to see what you guys think and processing both of these and how, like, this sucks because I love this city. I love this place, but I'll never be able to look at this city again because, like, all of my most tragic love stories have ended here. So, I saw in my mind fairy lights through the mist. I kept calm and I carried the weight of the rift. I pulled him in tighter each time he was drifting away. My spine split from carrying us up the hill. Wet through my clothes, weary bones got the chill. Do you understand? This woman is a poet! She is a poet. Everybody that sleeps on Taylor Swift, repent! Repent! This, she is the songwriter of a generation. Like, she's in the history books. There's nobody like her. She's one in a million, okay? Like, Joni Mitchell, Stevie Nicks, Michael Jackson, Prince, Taylor Swift. You've got to accept it, okay? So all of this, so, like, I stopped trying to make him laugh, stopped trying to drill the safe. Hello, mirror ball. She's balancing on a tightrope. She's doing everything to get you laughing at me. We thought a little bit, like, during the pandemic, that was about the fans, right? I think Swifties thought that Mirrorball was about the fans and, like, being like, oh, we're in a pandemic and, like, I'm sad I can't perform my Lover tour. And, like, who am I without being able to perform and make people, like, entertain people? Like, you know, I'm nobody if I'm not entertaining people. And maybe there was some of that. Because I think, you know, she has revealed she's a people, you know, a pathological people pleaser. It matters to her what people think about her, and having public admiration and attention, as any public celebrity, you know, that's how we operate. But she saying, I stopped trying to make him laugh. I stopped trying to drill the safe. Like the safe, right? If you're drilling to get into a safe, this is a locked chamber with important things in it that you cannot get to. And she's like, I gave up. I've tried so hard to break open this safe to get to the meat of the root of the problem. I'm done trying. I've been trying to make you laugh and nothing is working because Joe was obsessed. And I think this part is about Joe. Joe was obsessed with being like this mopey, miserable, depressed, tortured artist. And I think that's also kind of some of this too. Like the torture poets department, I think 90% of this is Maddie. There's a little Joe in there, but like she dates these tortured artists. And so some of this music is a little bit like making fun of myself too, because she is also a tortured artist. Tortured poet, I mean. You know, thinking how much sad did you think I had? Did you think I had in me? Oh, the tragedy, so long, London, you'll find someone. In You're Losing Me, she talks about that. Like, how sad how much sadness do you think I have in me? Like, I can't give any more sad. I can't get any more sad than I already am. I didn't opt to be your odd man out. I founded the club she's heard great things about. I left all I knew. You left me at the house by the heath. I stopped CPR. After all, it's no use. So in You're Losing Me, you hear these heartbeats and then like heartbeat stops. Like this relationship is dead. It's died. And she's saying, I stopped CPR. It's no use. Like, you know, when you know something is dead and you just have to give up trying to resuscitate it. That's what happened with her and Joe. The spirit was gone. We would never come to. And I'm pissed off. This was powerful. I am pissed off that you let me give you all that youth for free. She wasted 6 years on this loser. 6 years, her prime years. This is the problem with the men that tell us that they want to marry us, that they want to have kids with us, and then they waste our time in our prime years, and then we become 30-something, right? Like, I relate to this. And then you're 30-something, and it's like, oh, well, why is she 30 and not married with kids yet? Because you told us you were going to marry us. You told us to wait. You told us you weren't there yet. You were getting there, that we needed to be patient, that we needed to give you time. And so we do it because we're good girls who want to get married and have kids. And you waste our time, and shame on us for falling for it, right? So Taylor and I were like this on this. I've been there. She's clearly been there. So she says, I'm pissed off that you let me give you my youth for free, 6 years of my 20s. Beautiful song. And I think that sums all that. Stephanie says that line got me too. Faith says one of my fave lines. Nicole says it made me so sad. Becca's like, yeah, then they say you're used up and old. Right, exactly. It's like, oh my gosh, we can't freaking win. Okay, the next song. Woo! But Daddy, I Love Him. This is one of my favorite Taylor moments. This is a high for her career to me as a Swiftie. I cannot tell you how long the whole time, while the Maddie Healy charades were going on, I kept thinking, why doesn't she tell these people to shut the heck up? Why doesn't she say, I do not give a crap? Stop following me. Stop showing up at my best friend's wedding to stalk me. Stop telling me who I'm allowed to date. Like, I was like, where is the statement of telling these people to leave me alone? This is that song. So this is why she didn't say anything in the moment. It's because she was saving it for this album to finally put the psychotic Swifties in their place and the people that are hungry for a cancel culture. You know, they allegedly love her so much, but like we're willing to cancel her. It's so sick and so annoying. And these people are so unhinged. And this is like the greatest roast I've ever seen an artist do of not only the media, the public, but their own fan base. It was just so perfect. And what's great is like, I'm a Swiftie. I'm not offended by this because I'm not this person. I'm not these people that were writing. If you don't know, there were people like that created these like petitions of sign this if you're worried about Taylor's, like, we just have her best interest at heart and we just don't want to see her date somebody that's so wrong for her. He's so problematic. He's not, you know, a leftist enough. He makes like, crude humor jokes, and he's like, he has dark humor, and he makes racist jokes, and like, how dare he, you know, nobody, you know. So it was like everyone was mad at her, and this was her FU, which I love. She said, I just learned these people only raise you to cage you. All my fans, like, yeah, they've been with me from the beginning only to be like, well, now I need to be able to control you. Sarah's and Hannah's in their Sunday best, clutching their pearls, saying, oh, what a mess, about her and Maddie. I just learned these people try and save you because they hate you. They slammed the door on my whole world, the one thing I wanted. I just want to be happy. I want to be madly in love. I want to be with somebody that gets me. And then you slam the door on my whole world. You say, nope, you can't have that. Sorry, girly. We decide when you get to be happy. This is funny. So this is like one of those pivotal moments where she is really showing how witty she is and clever as a songwriter. She says, now I'm running with my dress unbuttoned, screaming, but daddy, I love him. I'm having his baby. And then she says, no, I'm not, but you should see your faces. So she's like, she's saying something that she knows is going to piss these fans off. Like, oh my gosh, she's having a baby with Maddie Healy. No, the worst thing that could ever happen. And she's like, no, I'm freaking not, you idiots. But like, you should see your face. You look like a moron right now. And so she's like, I'm telling him, floor it through the fences. No, I'm not coming to my senses. By the way, the prologue of this entire album, if you have not read, you have to read the prologue, because she's basically saying, hello, I had a moment of temporary insanity post breakup. Everybody show me a little grace. We all go a little crazy sometimes, and I went crazy, and Maddie was my crazy, and I chose him, and it didn't work out, and I'm pissed off about that. But she's saying, you know, I tell him floor to the fences, like, I'm telling him, go for it. Let's go. Let's drive this baby. Let's ride. I'm not coming to my senses. I want to be crazy. I know he's crazy, but he's the one I want. Stay away from her. The saboteurs protested too much. Lord knows the words we never heard, just screeching tires of true love. So she's saying all of these people, the saboteurs, the people on Twitter, you know, all the comments, all the YouTube videos, all these freaking petitions that were floating around of Swiftie saying, we'll never listen to your music again if you date this man. She says, Lord knows, only God knows those words. All the things that you were complaining about, she said, we weren't even listening. We were screeching our tires. We were getting out of here because it's true love. No, there's no miscarriage. She is saying, she's making fun of the psycho fans that are like, you're not dating, you're not with the boy I want you to be with. And so she's antagonizing them by being like, I'm in love. You can't stop me. Like, but daddy, I love him. I love him. And I'm having his baby. You know, like in those movies, like where the girl gets pregnant and it's the wrong guy, the family doesn't approve. And she's like, well, I love him. And also, I'm having his baby. And then that's why she says, no, I'm not. But you should have seen your faces. Like, she's messing with us because she's saying, like, she's roasting them. She's roasting these people. Does that make sense? So she says, this is my favorite post-chorus of the entire album, I think. She says, and she's so angry in the way she says it, which I love. It's like, mother is yelling at us. Mother has pulled the car over, okay? She's had enough. She's pulling the car over, and she says, I will turn this car around if you don't shut up. She says, I'll tell you something right now. I'd rather burn my whole life down than listen to one more second of all this bitching and moaning. That is literally a mother pulling the car over to yell at the kids. She says, I'll tell you something about my good name. It's mine alone to disgrace. I don't cater to all these vipers dressed in empaths' clothing. Wow. Wow. You're a Swiftie now, aren't you? You are. You are. Because That is powerful. She says, I would rather lose everything. I would rather lose everything than listen to one more second of these people trying to micromanage my life and tell me who I'm allowed to date and who I'm not allowed to date. If I want to be with him, I will, and I'll let it all crumble if I decide I want to so that I can be with this man. And she says, my name, Taylor Swift, my brand, everything that I've built, you don't get to cancel me. I cancel me when I want. If I want to leave all of this, if I want to burn it down, I will disgrace my own name. No one will ever do that to me again. She learned that lesson in Reputation era. Remember? She was like, I'm never going to let the public tell me. Excuse me, just burped. She's like, I'm never going to let the public tell me, you know, when I'm done. I will say when I'm done. I don't cater to all these vipers dressed in empath clothing. So these are evil people. These are people that are like, oh, I just love Taylor. I'm a Swiftie. I've been a Swiftie my whole life. And because I love you so much and care about you so much, you have to stop dating him because it's ruining me. It's I'm so upset. This is like that. You have to be like a true Swiftie and like been around the block and like deep in Swiftie, like Twitter and Reddit, you know, the Taylor Swift Reddit page to understand like how crazy these girls were getting over Taylor dating Maddie. So that's who she's calling out, that they were pretending to just, oh, I just care about you so much. I have empath's clothing on, right? I'm here because I care. And really, they were vipers. Like, you're vipers. You don't love me. You don't care about me. Because if that was the truth, you would trust me that I know who's best for me and I can choose what to do with my own life. I'm an adult woman. Thank you very much. And then the bridge, man, it just gets even better. I told you, this is a roasting. This is a lashing. This was a public lashing of the psycho Swifties, and it needed to happen. It's been building up, and you can see in the lyrics of this song and the way she sings it, it's like so much anger and like, I'm freaking done. She just let it out. She says, God save the most judgmental creeps who say they want what's best for me. Sanctimoniously performing soliloquies I'll never see. I'm not reading that. I'm happy for you or I'm sad for you, but I'm not reading that, all that you wrote. You think that it can change the beat of my heart when he touches me and counteract the chemistry and undo the destiny we are supposed to be together. You don't know what it feels like with him. You're not going to get to undo the chemistry. You can't feel what I feel. We are meant to be. You ain't got to pray for me, she writes. Me and my wild boy, all of his wild joy. If all you want is gray for me, that's just white noise. This is my choice. Fire. And then she says, you know, there's a lot of people in town that I bestow upon my fakest smiles. Scandal does funny things to pride. It brings people closer. So like all this, like for at least in the beginning, brought her and Maddie closer. All right. So amazing. I'm not going to read every lyric, but so good. I do like that song a lot. Not in my top three, but I do like it. Top five. Fresh out the slammer. I'm going back and forth between this song and another one for my number one. Fresh out the slammer is definitely in my top three. This song is, let me just tell you something about me. And I feel like I'm a rare one. Is anybody else a So It Goes, False God stan? I feel like those two songs, So It Goes is the least streamed song from Reputation if you look on Spotify. Like, nobody likes So It Goes. So It Goes is probably my favorite song on Reputation. So weird. But I love sexy songs. False God, sexy song. These are my favorites. And this song is sexy. It's like sad and sexy. But it's like romantic, melodramatic, sad, sexy. Like, I am in the most broken relationship, but I know the person that I'm gonna call, and it's you. Like, I know where I'm going. I know where I'm running. Like, as soon as this is over, as soon as he says the words, it's over, I know where I'm going. Like, I have a place to call home. Like, and so it's just like, it's so hot. It's like all of the sexual tension, everything that she's been like building up in her mind, like it's finally happening. Like, I'm finally out and I'm going to you. But she's like, I did my time. I got through this relationship. Now, pretty baby, I'm running back home to you. Fresh out the slammer. I know who my first call will be to. As I said in my letters, now that I know better, I will never lose my baby again. So I don't know if she means literally she wrote letters in the mail or she's writing text messages. But she was like, I messed up. all those years ago. Like, I should have fought for you. Like, I should have fought for this. Like, we were always meant to be together. Like, I'm ready. Like, please be with me. My friends tried, but I wouldn't hear it. Watch me daily disappearing for just one glimpse of his smile. All those nights, he kept me going. Okay, so two things here. Taylor is describing, I'm like literally sweating. Taylor is describing that her friends saw how she was withering away with Joe. And they were all trying to tell her, they're like, babe, you're not happy. You know what I mean? Like, you are miserable right now. Like, you don't need to be this. She's like, you know, you don't understand. Like, when he finally does, like, he has happy moments and, like, everything's worth it. Like, I just need to hold out because I see it there. I see the glimmer of happiness that he could have. And I'm just, like, waiting for that to come back fully. Like, it'll come back. It'll come back. But in the midst of all of that, her friends are telling her, like, you got to break up with Joe. She's like, I can't because I see glimpses of what it should be. And then what I believe happened is that in the middle of this, Maddie is one of her friends that she's constantly texting throughout the course of her relationship with Joe. And Maddie is the one who's always there because we all of us girls, everybody has a plan B on the back burner, whether you admit it or not. If your relationship ended today, maybe not those of us who've been married for like 20 years, but like if you're in a new relationship, like you have that person who you're like, he's the guy, like, if this all goes to hell, I know who I could text and like he would be there for me. You know what I mean? Like everybody has that like backup plan. And Maddie was always the backup plan, always in communication with her, like walking her through these deep like feelings of feeling like something's not right. I'm not totally happy. Like I'm missing out on something and like that thing is with you. Okay. What? This, but wait a minute. They're just telling me in my ear that it's been 48 minutes and I'm only on song 6, but there's 30 songs. I'm not even looking at the time. I'm just going. Just do people have to use the studio? Can we just stay? Oh, they're saying we can't. We can't do 2 hours. What do I do, you guys? I have so much to say. I'll just go quick. There's so much to say. There's honestly, like, here's the deal. I'm going to put, like, all of my, like, deep thoughts. Like, I'm really going to do this article justice for Evie that will come out this weekend. So be looking for that. Subscribe to Evie because they're great. And then let me at least finish. Here's what I'll do. Let me go through my thoughts on just this album. Okay? And then, you know, the first part and then the 2 a.m. one. I'll just like mention like two songs on the 2 a.m. and I'm not going to go through every song on the 2 a.m. But let me just finish this. Is this fine with everybody? Is everybody in the chat fine with that? Like, will you hang out with me if I finish just this album or is this too long? Part two next week. Okay. Is an hour like, do I wrap up here and I just finish this on Monday? Or do I finish this album right now and we just go a little long and then I do the album two on Monday? Well, we have a weekend. Isn't it Friday? What day is it? Okay. Yeah. Do I go live again on Monday or do I just get through this album? Like, does anybody care for me to actually do this again? Maybe not. Okay. We'll just see how everybody feels. I'll do a poll or something over the weekend of like, do you want me to go live on Monday to do the 2 a.m. version of the album? Or is everybody by the weekend? Over the weekend, like you guys are probably going to be like, okay, I'm done. I get it. You've seen everybody's synopsises. So you may not need mine on Monday for that part. But I will finish this album right here. Okay. So let's keep going. Florida. On first listen, I absolutely hated this freaking song. It sucked. I didn't get it. I literally did not understand the point of it. Like, I hate when a song just feels like a filler. And that's how I felt with Florida. I was like, what is the purpose of this stupid song? It was annoying to me. I didn't like it. Then I listened to it in the car this morning. And I was like, man, Taylor freaking Allison Swift always does this. I'm putting my lip balm on. My lips are getting dry. I'm talking so much today. Taylor Allison Swift always does this where, like, I like every song she puts out for the most part. There's some that are just growers and not showers, and this was one. I think I'm, like, starting to like it, which is, like, I'm like, what? I really hated it. I was like, this is an instant skip. Then I listened to it again, and then I also listened to her iHeartRadio reasoning behind the story of the song, and I was like, okay, I kind of like it. It's kind of fun. When you listen to it in the car, full blast, and you scream it, it's kind of fun. So this song is about needing a fresh start after a breakup. And it's like, where do you go where, like, everybody goes to, like, get a new identity and, like, solve all your problems? Well, obviously, Taylor Swift, we know, is, like, a true crime fanatic. And Taylor loves true crime. And she's like, well, I watch Dateline all the time. Like, Florida is the state. Like, that's where you go to, like, assume a new identity, start your life over. You get some crappy timeshare in Destin, and, like, that's where you ride it out. You ride out the storm in Florida. Like, if things are all going to hell, like, that's the state you go to, which I think is funny. And so then I appreciated the song. And that's all I'll say about that. I thought that was funny. Oh, one other thing I will say. This line that says, you can beat the heat if you beat the charges too. They said I was a cheat. I guess it must be true. So, like, everybody says, you know, Taylor Swift is a cheater. She's a whore, like, all of these things. She didn't cheat on Joe, but she was, like, starting to have feelings with Maddie and feelings about being with Maddie, like, physically. Like, she was obviously, like, fantasizing. She was her horniest. She was her horniest on the Torture Poets Department, pining over Maddie. And so she was like, you know, I guess maybe I am a cheater, even though I just thought of it. Maybe I am. So I guess if that's true, I gotta start my life over because I'm such a bad, evil person. I broke the law. You know, I broke the law. Let's go to Florida. That's where all the felons go to start over. And then I like this line. And my friends all smell like weed or little babies. Now, some of you who are not, I would say, like, 28 and up, any like baby Swifties or new Swifties, you may be like, I don't understand. What she's saying is so relatable to anyone who's, like, the last single friend in your friend group. Taylor is saying, like, all my friends are either, like, not married and partying and, like, they all smell like weed, or they all smell like babies because they're all married with kids. And I'm like, oh my gosh, literally me. Literally me, because I've got, like, a few friends that are, like, single group of friends. And, you know, she's saying they smell like weed, and that may not be the case. But the picture she's painting, I'm not saying I have, like, my weed friends and my married friends. I actually don't have any friends that, like, smoke weed regularly. But the point is, you have your, like, party friends, single friends. You have that chapter of your life when you're the single one in your 30s. And then the other part of your friend group is married with kids, and they all smell like baby wipes and baby powder, you know? So I thought that was, like, funny and cute and relatable, for me anyway. Moving on to Guilty as Sin, ? All about Maddie Healy. Okay. Maddie Healy, this is Taylor being in relationship with Joe towards the end, and now she's like, number one, I'm going to come out and say it. Some of this song makes me think maybe this is a little bit of a masturbation song. I'm not entirely sure, but it certainly could be some of these parts, like, my bed sheets are ablaze, I've screamed his name, building up like waves crashing over my grave. Like, kind of makes me think, like, she's getting off thinking about Maddie while she's with Joe. Because, like, building up like waves crashing over my grave, like, her grave is, like, in that house, like, living with Joe in that bed. You know what I mean? Like, she's with Joe, but she's, like, fantasizing about being with Maddie. And, like, what if we were to finally hook up? Because I don't think they had yet. And so in her mind for all these years, she's like, like, the sexual chemistry was so crazy that she was like, what if, like, we were to actually, like, do it? So, and she's like, I keep this as a secret. I keep these longings locked in lowercase inside a vault. So not only is it locked inside a vault, which, like, that's the most secure thing that you could put something precious and secret in, right, is a vault, but in locked in lowercase. So it's like, you know, these letters, they're so quiet. Like, these thoughts are so quiet. They're lowercase. They're not capital letters. I'm not shouting it. It's like this secret little fantasy of mine while I'm in this relationship or at the end of this relationship is like, but what if I was with you? What would it be like to finally kiss you? What would it be like to finally feel you on me? I keep recalling, you know, things we never did. She says, messy top lip kiss, how I long for our tryst without ever touching his skin. How can I be guilty of sin? So, like, am I a cheater? Am I a cheater if I'm not actually, like, physically following through with it? I'm just thinking about it. So good. So good. Top three song for me. And anyone that's, like, a 1975 fan knows, like, Matty Healy, like, we, the Downtown Lights reference, the Drowning in the Blue Nile, these are all things about Matty Healy. Like, this is very obvious. All right. That was brief enough. Who's Afraid of Little Old Me? I think that this song in general is like a big overarching song about Taylor's personal life, the media, her albums being sold. It's just like, who's afraid of little old me? I'm just this like cute little American blonde girl. Like, what threat do I really pose? And then she's like, oh, actually, I pose a really big threat. All of you should be scared of me because I'm going to write a better album than you. I'm going to outsell your stolen records that you took from me. I'm going to make my own. Like, you know what I mean? So this song to me was very Look What You Made Me Do-ish. And maybe even referencing just a lot of drama, like, going on with her at post Joe. Who's Afraid of Little Old Me? This is, again, like, some of her, like, really, like, sarcasm and that I really liked is she says, who's afraid of little old me? I was tame. I was gentle till the circus life made me mean. Don't you worry, folks. She puts in quotes, we took out all her teeth. So it's like if you chain up a dog and you're making them perform, and, you know, you're chaining up an animal to make them miserable where they want to lash out at people, but then you like file their teeth down. So it's like, well, they can't bite you. They're really not that scary. Like, we're going to torture this poor thing, this poor animal with everything that we have. But then like, we'll take the teeth out. So like, don't worry. She can't really bite. So she's like being sarcastic, like, but don't worry, you took out my teeth. So yeah, I can't come after you. This was powerful in this song. I love this, these lines. The bridge is so good. She says, so they tell me everything is not about me. But what if it is? Then they say, well, we didn't do it to hurt you. But what if they did? Like, you guys are making me insane. Like, you do all this stuff. You poke me, you prod me. And then you're like, oh, she's so crazy. She's so boy crazy. How dare she write? Like, when's she going to put another album out? Puts another album out. Why is she putting out an album talking about her boys? You know what I mean? Like, it's like, she can never win. And it's, she's like, everybody's like, stop making everything about you. She's like, you make everything about me. Stop gaslighting me. My whole public life, everything is about me. Everything that happens is about Taylor Swift. And then when I say something about it, oh, why is she making things about her? She says, I want to snarl and I want to show you just how disturbed this has made me. This whole public spectacle. You have no idea how insane this has made me. You wouldn't last an hour in the asylum where they raised me. You wouldn't last an hour in this madhouse that I've had to grow up in since I was a teenage girl, which is Hollywood, the spotlight. And then she says, but, you know, I put, which I like, this is a little, some of that cleverness. She says, but I put narcotics into all of my songs and that's why you're still singing along. Like, so you can hate me, you can come after me, you can say, oh, why is she always playing the victim? Oh, she's such a whore. Why does she date so many people? She really hasn't. Like, you know, they can say all these complaints that are always said about Taylor Swift. At the end of the day, guess what? You're still singing her songs because she is a damn good writer and nobody makes a song like Taylor Swift. Incredible. Okay, any questions while we're like halfway done with this first one? What are some questions for me so far? We're at track 10, so we're moving on to track 11. This is the last half of the first album. So what questions do you have for me? or things I should say. Jessica says it's very disappointing that Taylor Swift has the courage and integrity to go against the right-wing ideologies that her conservative parents tried to train and condition her to believe in. I mean, I guess, Jessica, but, like, okay, can we just, like, move on from this? Taylor Swift isn't a conservative. Boo freaking who. Neither is 99% of Hollywood. Who cares? Again, she wrote a song for you. It's called But Daddy, I Love Him. She doesn't care. Olivia. Oh, are any songs about Olivia Rodrigo? I don't get that vibe. Maybe thinking about that, I can pick out some stuff on the second part of the album. But on this album, I don't think any of this is about Olivia, no. Sarah says, oh, my gosh, that line about her being like, I grew up in this insane asylum. And she's like, people on Twitter are saying, but girl, you grew up on a Christmas tree farm. Some of her fans just still don't get it. Yeah, I don't know if they're just being funny because she did grow up on a Christmas tree farm. They're just like making a joke about that line, or if they really truly are like, what do you mean you grew up in an insane asylum? Like, she's talking about fame, like, for so many years now. Ashley says, the line from Who's Afraid of Little Old Me, I'll sue you if you step on my lawn. I mean, I think she's talking about how people think she's, what's that word, like, litigious? That's not the word, is it? I'm not saying it right. But, like, when somebody is, like, really, like, sue happy, like, that's a big rumor about Taylor's persona, is that, like, oh, she'll sue you for everything. You know what I mean? Like, she's this, like, angry old woman always looking for a lawsuit. Like, she wants to copyright you. She wants to, like, destroy anybody. Like, so my take on that line was that she was poking fun at, like, she was being sarcastic about, oh, you know, don't step on my lawn because, you know, I love to sue people. That's how I took that lawn. How I took that line. So far, Travis is feeling great. And trust me, we will get to Travis. I'm not going to not mention the two Travis songs. We are going to mention the two Travis songs before I end this in a second here. Zoe wants to know, is The Alchemy about Travis or Maddie? I'll tell you. Leviticus. Deuteronomy. Snuffleupagus. My favorite books of the Bible. All right. Track 11, I Can Fix Him. No, really, I can. I love this song, also about Maddie Healy. This whole album is basically Maddie. She says, you know, the smoke cloud billows out of his mouth like a freight train through a small town smoker. We know Maddie's a chain smoker. He's always smoking. The jokes that he told across the bar were revolting and far too loud. Again, he has a tendency to say, like, really shock jock type of, like, shocking, crude things. His crude sense of humor is, like, maybe okay to Taylor in private, but, like, out loud in a bar, like, okay, that's, like, super embarrassing. And then, you know, she's talking about, in the chorus, everybody's shaking their heads. Oh, God help her. You know, she's with this loser. And then Taylor's like, well, he's my man. I'm proud to be with him. You know, don't worry. I can fix him. No, really, I can. And only I can. She says, only I can. So she's like, she hears what everybody's saying. Like, okay, this guy's like kind of a problem for your image. And she's like, no, don't worry. Like, I can clean this up. And then by the end of the song, she's like, I can fix him. No, really, I can. And then I love that the song ends with her going, whoa, maybe I can't. Like, whoa, this guy. Like, it's getting so intense. Like, all the stuff that people are finding of, like, all the things you're saying, it's like, ooh, do I want to do this? Can I really fix him? Or maybe he just is what he is. Like, I don't know that I can, like, reel this guy in, you know, to be with me forever. I think that's pretty good synopsis for that song. Love of my life, LOML, loss of my life. Absolutely beautiful song. I also believe that this song is about Maddie Healy. Let's just start. Let's just go. We embroidered the memories of the time I was away. We thought about and stitched the memories while I was away, while I was with Joe, while I was in this 6-year relationship away from you. We were thinking about it, and we were, and you, and he says, you know, well, we were just kids. And she says, I don't mind. It takes time. She says, I thought I was better safe than starry-eyed. So here, right here, this is a parallel between Joe and Maddie. These are like the two big loves. Joe was safe. He was not a risk taker. He wasn't exciting. He was freaking sad, lonely, sad cat, okay? Then you have Maddie, who is like crazy, going off the rails. This guy is a lunatic. He's a drug addict. He is, has high highs and low lows. It's always up and down, roller coaster, toxic, exciting love. And she's like, well, I just thought I chose Joe because I thought, well, I would be better safe than starry-eyed. I've never felt a glow like this before or since. Like, you are the most exciting guy that I've ever been with. Like, crack. She says, you and I go from one kiss to getting married. So to me, I think they finally get together after her and Joe break up, and they have their moment. They finally kiss, and it's like, oh, not only are we kissing now and like hooking up, and we're a thing, like we are in. That's why it was so fast. It was like she announces her breakup with Joe. She gets her hookup on with Maddie Healy, and immediately we're like, oh my gosh, she's already like in public holding hands with him, kissing him in public. Like, we were shocked. He's coming to our shows because she's saying, we went from, I'd been waiting all these years for you. Now we're together. We've kissed. And not only that, let's do this thing. Like, let's get married. And they're killing time at the cemetery, never quite buried. So she's like, if you're at the cemetery, you're at the place that you go to die, right? But you're still alive, killing time. So this, she's saying this relationship is doomed from the start. Her relationship with Maddie was doomed. They're dead on arrival, but like still breathing. You know what I mean? So they're still like, they're breathing, but you're technically at a cemetery. So you're at the place you're going to die. The relationship. And so just in the nick of time, just as she's like finally broken up with Joe, just before she gets with Travis, this guy shows up, which obviously she didn't know that Travis was going to happen. But she's like saying, like, you show up in the nick of time in your suit and tie. He's always in a suit and tie. You Holy Ghost, you told me I'm the love of your life. Oh, my gosh, this is perfect timing. I'm finally available. You're available. And you're telling me I am the love of your life, that this is it. And she says, you know, you said I'm the love of your life about a million times. So she is really, she is hammering to us that, you guys, this guy was telling me, like, I'm going to marry you. This is it. I'm finally ready. I'm ready to grow up for you. But then she finds out that some of his impressionist paintings are fakes. And she's using that as like a, as a metaphor of, or symbolism or something of like, look, even your paintings are fake in your house. Like, this love is fake too. Like, you're not actually ready to marry me. You're not actually ready to do this. You're not actually ready to grow up. She says, all at once, you took me to hell and the ink bleeds. A con man sells a fool a get love quick scheme. He was conning her. He was like, I'm ready for you. I want to be with you. But it was all a con. She said, I felt a hole like this never before and never since. So here she's talking about the parallels of being with a guy. She's showing. Remember, I told you that Maddie, it was Joe was the safe guy. Maddie Healy is the up and down guy. And at the beginning, she says, I felt a glow like this never before and never since. You're the love of my life. Now we're transitioning into the song, which is why the song is an acronym, because at first it's love of my life. And then he goes to the loss of my life, because at first you feel a glow, never like this before. Then she says, I've never felt a hole like this before. If you know it in one glimpse, it's legendary. Oh, so good. You cinephile in black and white. Mr. Steal your girl, then make her cry. You said I was the love of your life. You shit-talked me under the table, talking rings and talking cradles. I wish I could unrecall how we almost had it all. He was telling her that he wanted to get married and have babies with her. And she's saying, this is my favorite bridge. So you shit talk me under the table, talking rings and talking cradles. I wish I could unrecall how we almost had it all. Dancing phantoms on the terrace. Are they secondhand embarrassed that I can't get out of bed because something counterfeit is dead? Even the ghosts of what this relationship could have been, are they even so humiliated for me that I fell for this and that you've left me and that none of this that I thought was going to happen, the marriage, the babies, was going to happen? Mm. And then she ends the song, "You're the loss of my life." So good. So freaking good. Aaron Dessner song. All the songs that are Aaron Dessner songs on this album, top tier. Top tier. He really, really showed up, our little Pookie. Is everyone hanging in? All right. That bridge, guys, that bridge. Okay. I can do it with a broken heart. I love this. It's like the sister to Bejeweled. So many things about this song that are so fun. Also, like, in my top... Ooh, I think this is in my top three. I think Fresh Out the Slammer and So High School are my top three. Ooh. All right. I love this one because it's so fun. It's like the one like really, really poppy fun song. And it's like the sister to Bejeweled and the sister to Mastermind. And I love this because she's talking about us. I think this song is to Swifties and like the public, and how she's like, I can read your mind. You know, we're thinking like, wow, she just went through this breakup with Joe and she's on this tour. She's having the time of her life. She's in her glittering prime. The light is reflecting off of her sequins every night on stage. And then I love that you hear the actual track of her on stage during the tour of like her like beats, like counting, like, because it counts 1, 2, 3, 4, because it's like she's performing, right? So I want a music video for this song so bad, because the whole time I'm listening to this, I'm picturing Taylor. It's like so good to me. I'm picturing Taylor on the, also I'm going to swear in this because there's some swears. So if you have kids, because I'm going to read the lyrics. So like, she's like, she's performing and she's like, I'm a, like, she's got a fake smile and she's like, I'm a real tough kid. I can handle my shit. Baby, gotta fake it till you make it. Well, I did. Lights, camera, bitch, smile. Cause they're telling her, like, go, 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 smile, fake, you know, perform, perform, entertain everybody. And then she says, but that life, she says, I'm doing all of this. I'm faking it till I make it. Even though I want to die, I want to die. I'm the most miserable I've ever been. I've just had the loss of my life, the biggest hole of my life. The guy that brought me the most joy, but also the most pain, I've now lost. And I still have to get out here and I have to smile and I have to hit my marks. And she says, even when you want to die, he said he'd love me all his life, but that life was too short. Breaking down, I hit the floor. All the pieces of me shattered as the crowd was shouting, more. Give us more, Taylor. Keep going. But she's like, I'm grinning like I'm winning. I was hitting my marks because I can do it with a broken heart, because she's the one of the best performers of a generation. And dang it, if she does not outsell a tour despite being absolutely devastated. She says, I'm so depressed. I act like it's my birthday every day. But if you look at the lyrics of this song, it's so sad. It's like, this really had the potential to be a really sad song, but she puts these sad lyrics with this like super hype beat, which makes it really fun. And this is that like self-deprecation and like self-reflection that is so vulnerable that I really like. So then it gets like so the way she's singing these sad lyrics, it's like she's singing it with a smile. You can hear her smiling while she's singing the song, which adds to the fakeness of like, I can perform even at my lowest. I will trick everybody in thinking that I'm having the time of my life when I am so miserable and ready to break down at any moment. Cause she's like, I'm so depressed. I act like it's my birthday every day, you know, like so fake like that. Like, I'm so obsessed with him, but he avoids me like the plague. Like, it's like, everything's going wrong, but you'll never know. I cry a lot, but I'm so productive. It's an art. You know you're good when you can do it with a broken heart. So good. And then she ends the song by saying, you know you're good when you can do it even with a broken heart. And she goes, because I'm miserable and nobody even knows. And then she goes, try and come for my job. Loved that. I love that she ended with that. Like, I am the best that there's ever been. The fact that I can put on one of the best-selling world tours of all time, and you do not know how depressed and brokenhearted I am. Let's freaking go, girl. This is my girl. This is why I ride or die. This is why I've been a Swiftie for over 13 years. It's because whose artist is doing this? Not yours. Not yours. Mine. My artist. My girl. My all-time just dropped over 30 songs in the middle of the night in the midst of a world tour, and she's just had 3 relationships in the span of a year. Let's freaking go. 2 heartbreaks in 6 months. Let's freaking go. No one's doing it like Taylor Swift, and that is on that. Oh, yeah, this song is so Barbie. I love the comments that are like, oh my gosh, this is like so Barbie. It is. It's like when Barbie is at the dance. That's exactly it. It's like, do you guys ever think about dying? That's like having an existential crisis, but being able to fake it through it. And that scene from the Barbie movie, it's so perfect for this song. All right. The smallest man who ever lived. So this song to me is another Aaron Dessner banger. Will rip your heart out, melt your face off. This song, the way I describe it is, this is like her, this is a modern day Dear John. This is would have, could have, should have. This is like, I'm going to absolutely destroy you. I am so angry. I hate you for what you did. Now she's in the anger stage of the heartbreak. She was so sad and depressed. And then you move on to anger, right? Before you get to like acceptance and all of that. So she said, I mean, there's so many things. But she talks about how she just doesn't understand what his motives were. Like, why did you show up out of nowhere in the middle of my life just to tell me, you know, that you want to be with me and I love your life. You want to marry me. You want to have my babies. You took one of the songs. She, you know, she says she was wearing her ring on her middle finger, and then he picked it up and put it on her ring finger, like during dinner, and her heart exploded. Like, he was totally pulling her along, thinking like, this is it finally. Like, I didn't get my happy ending with Joe. I'm finally going to get it with Maddie. And then he also pulled the rug out from under her. I feel so bad for her. So this song is powerful. I don't want to read all of these lyrics because it's just so deep and you really need to listen to it. But at the end, she's like asking things like, did you sleep with a gun underneath our bed? Were you writing a book? Were you part of a sleeper cell spy? Like, why were you in my life out of nowhere? What was your motive? What was your plan? And then she's like, because you know what? Even if you were to tell me why you did this to me, I don't even care, because this wasn't sexy once it became forbidden. Once it was like, it wasn't sexy once it wasn't forbidden. So then it was like, okay, are we really going to do this now? Like, now it's like not even fun anymore because like everybody's just like accepting it. And I don't even know if it's like worth it. You know what I mean? Like, at first it was exciting. It's like, everybody's against us. Like, we can do this. And then it's like, I don't know if we want to. Like, is this really even that hot anymore? I would have died for your sins. Instead, I just died inside, and you deserve prison, but you won't get time. You'll slide into inboxes and slip through the bars. You'll hook up with chicks on Instagram. You'll go to bars. You said normal girls were boring, but you were gone by morning. Like, you didn't care. Like, you. So I don't even think that necessarily means, like, literal. Like, their relationship was so brief that it's like, you know, her being like, you know, you came to me being like, all the other girls are boring. I want to be with you, Taylor. And then 2 months later, you know, you're gone by morning. Like, and then he peaced out. And she said, and in plain sight you hid, but you are what you did, and I'll forget you, but I'll never forgive. The smallest man who ever lived. Very good. The Alchemy. Hello? Are we paying attention? Here's our first Travis song. So cute. It's so cute. Tons of football, like, imagery and metaphors, which was very cute. And so here's what I took the lyrics to mean from this. So this happens once every few lifetimes. She says, these chemicals hit me like white wine. What if I told you I'm back? The hospital was a drag. Worst sleep I ever had. Okay, Taylor's like this really fun girl. She's fun. I like being out and about. I like being in the public eye. Like, I like going out. I like being bejeweled. And I was in this freaking insane asylum for a moment here, and it sucked. I didn't sleep. Man, I've been miserable. And then, like, you are like this light, and you're so fun. And, like, I'm back, baby. I'm ready to do this. Like, let's take over the world like a media firestorm. Let's be America's couple. She says, I haven't come. She says, I circled you on a map. So this is the first clue. This is about Travis Kelce, because the joke is, and it was a huge TikTok trend, that girls were telling their boyfriends that were familiar with Travis Kelce from football. They were like, wow, this Travis Kelce guy, Taylor Swift really put him on the map, you know? And so all the boyfriends were getting upset. They're like, what do you mean? He's like one of the best tight ends in NFL history. Like, he's been on the map. Taylor Swift didn't put him on the map. It was a joke. And so that was a joke between Travis and Taylor, like how funny that was that people were like, oh, Taylor put Travis on the map when he was obviously already on the map. But she's like, I circled you on a map. I haven't come around in so long, but I'm coming back so strong. I haven't been in the public eye. I haven't been like full throttle relationship in so long because Joe wouldn't like be public. But now I'm like, I'm coming back strong with you. Like, let's freaking do this. So when I touch down, call the amateurs, cut them from the team. So like when I come, like I'm the girl that's going to change everything for you. So all the other girls that you've been with, these little thoughts, these little Instagram baddies that Travis has dated, like they're amateurs compared to me. I am the real deal. You can go ahead and cut them from the team. Ditch the clowns, get the crown. You are America's prince and princess. You are America's king and queen. You are prom king. I am prom queen. So she says, honestly, who are we to fight the alchemy? So what is alchemy? Alchemy is the genius annotation is that alchemy is the medieval chemical science or speculative philosophy, which takes base metals, two basic things or diseases or whatever, and then you create an elixir. So basically what she's saying is the love in her relationship can be a metaphor for the alchemy, for alchemy, which takes two people to create the magical and spellbinding experience that happens rarely across lifetimes. So she's saying, like, who am I to go against this valuable thing that I finally found? Like, this is so weird. It's so random. Like, this football player, like, this is so crazy. But, like, who am I to say no? Like, this is what I've been looking for forever. It's so random and weird, and I wasn't expecting it. But, like, let's do it. Like, who are we to fight the alchemy? Like, this is once in a lifetime. Like, nobody has this like crazy relationship like this where like the whole world loves you together. And then she says, those blokes warm the benches. We've been on a winning streak. I love this because she's saying like, another like sports analogy to her past relationship. She's like, blokes obviously is like an English term. And so she's saying like, these blokes, all my ex-British boyfriends, they've just been bench warmers. Me and you, though, we're on a winning streak together. Like, now we're really going towards the end zone. This is end game for us. And then he jokes that it's heroin, but this time with an E, is really cute. I think this is, again, Travis. People think that this line is about Maddie because he's publicly struggled with a heroin addiction. I don't. I think that this is about Travis because he also is like a really bad speller and he's kind of funny like that. But he, him being like, this is heroin, like all of this, like the limelight being with you, like this is like heroin, but it's with an E, like heroin, like a, you know, a heroin, like the girl hero. She's the girl hero. It's like a drug. So it's heroin with an E. I don't know. To me, that's how I take it. I see this song as a Travis song. Some people think it's Maddie, so maybe. Where's the trophy? He just comes running over to me after the Super Bowl. He didn't go straight for the trophy. He came running over to Taylor. The outro. This happens once every few lifetimes. These chemicals hit me like white wine. The alchemy, baby. Can't deny it. All right. So good, right? Do you think Travis or do you think Maddie? Yeah, the alchemy is chemistry. Some say, Megan says, it's really corny, but also so Taylor. She's a poet, but she's also just a girl. That's so true. She's just a girl. She's just a girl, and she likes the football star, okay? Let her have a little corny moment. Okay, so last song, but I will tell you about my thoughts of So High School, because that's also about Travis. Ah! Okay. Clara Bow. This song is so darling and deep, and I just love it. And I see this as Taylor, I'm wrapping this album, being like, okay, I'm recognizing I'm at the height of my career. I'm probably never going to be more famous than this. Like, probably after this, like, things are going to start to cool down. Like, this is really her top. Like, her whole life has, like, been moving towards this. Now she's at her peak. We'll see where it goes from here. But, like, acknowledging, you know, nobody's ever at the top for forever. And she's going through the biggest it girls of different generations. So the first it girl ever is Clara Bow, which, by the way, on the Real Alex Clark YouTube channel, like this time last year, I made this really good, like 20-minute mini documentary about it girls. And I tell the whole story of Clara Bow. And so if you aren't familiar with her and you want something to watch this weekend, look for my it girl documentary on YouTube. It's really good. Like, we really worked hard on that. And I thought it was really interesting. So she says, she's going through and she's talking to somebody. And she's like, you look like Clara Bow. Oh, in this light, remarkable. All your life, did you know that you would be picked like a rose? Did you know that you would be famous? Okay, so she goes through Clara Bow. And then she gets through, you know, people talking to this imaginary person. This town is fake, but you're the real thing. You're a breath of fresh air through smoke rings. Take the glory. You know, be dazzling. Like, this person is being gassed up. They're telling her. Then you look like Stevie Nicks in 75, the hair and lips. So another girl gets told, like, oh, you're like this major icon. And then the bridge is, beauty is a beast that roars down on all fours, demanding more. And only when your girlish glow flickers just so do they let you know. It's hell on earth to be heavenly. Them's the breaks. They don't come gently. So what she's saying is, like, for all of these big it girls and for herself, you get this fame and everything. But, like, when things start to fade and you start to, like, lose your glow and you're not going to be the it girl anymore, do they let you know? No, they don't. They're not going to warn you and say, hey, you've got 10 years and then it's going to be up. It's going to be the next person's turn. It's the breaks don't come easy. It's going to be abrupt. You're not going to be expecting it. It's over. I think a lot about Katy Perry. I mean, I'm sorry. She was for a moment, like, she had one of the best pop albums of all time. And then it was like flop after flop after flop. This girl could not get her head above water. You know, she went like nuts. And I think Katy, that was like a really depressing whole saga for her, that she could not get an album like as good as Teenage Dream after that in Prism. So the outro is so powerful and sad, and just like, just to show, like, we're in this moment with Taylor where, like, this fame is fleeting. You know, it's not going to be the coolest. She's not going to be the coolest person forever to be Taylor Swift. Like, you know, you think about Madonna and stuff. It's like, okay, we know she's an icon for what she did back in, like, you know, and who she was in the 80s and the 90s. But now it's like, how do we think about Madonna? It's kind of like, you know, pat her on the head, like, okay, grandma, let's get you back to bed. That's how we treat Madonna. And, like, Taylor knows that time is coming for her. So the outro is, you look like Taylor Swift in this light. We're loving it. You've got edge. She never did. The future's bright, dazzling. So Taylor is acknowledging that there will be another person to take her place. And whoever that person is that is, like, the next Taylor Swift, they're going to be like, oh, you look like Taylor. You know, Taylor was so great, but, you know, she didn't have this and you do. And so you're the next it girl. And so Taylor is basically, she is foreshadowing her replacement. So kind of like bittersweet of, like, recognizing the moment that we're in and how cool this is and watching her career right now, but also recognizing that it's not going to be forever. Oh, there it is, you guys. So good. I really like that song too. All right, so we are going to talk about So High School, because I just about peed. I have I need to spend, I only got to listen to these songs like one time through overnight. So like I've been at work all day and doing stuff crazy all day. So like I haven't even gotten to really listen to this album and soak in the lyrics and dissect this second album that much. So High School, absolutely, this song is about Travis Kelce. They've been compared to this high school couple. There's so many references to him that it's just so clear this is about him. I feel so high school every time I look at you. The reason I also love this song is I don't know if anybody else felt like this was so 90s. Everything about this, the way this song sounds, is super 90s to me. And I love the sound of it. I want Taylor so badly to explore this like 90s alt pop sound and like do a 90s inspired album, because that's like my favorite decade of music is 90s actually. So I feel so high school every time I look at you. I want to find you in a crowd just to hide from you. And she's saying like she feels 16 all over again. She's watching American Pie with him on a Saturday night. And then, oh my gosh, so hot, so hot. She's like, your friends are around, so be quiet. I'm trying to stifle my sighs. Ah! Horny Taylor! Because I feel so high school every time I look at you. They are hooking up in his house while his friends are there, and she's trying to be quiet, and she's having a hard time. And then verse one, these are what I mean by she shows that she's talking about Travis. Are you going to marry, kiss me, or kill me? He obviously had that very famous clip of him being asked by E! News, like three celebrities, her, Ariana Grande, or Katy Perry, who would you kiss, marry, or kill? He says he would kiss Taylor, kill Ariana Grande, and marry Katy Perry. And so Taylor's making a joke. Are you going to marry, kiss me, or kill me? It's just a game, but really. So I love this too, because she's like, yeah, I know it was just a game, but also like, but really, what are you going to do? Like, are you in this for real, or are you going to kill me, or am I just a hookup for you, or is this the real deal? You want to marry me? She's hinting at that. She says, I'm betting on all three for us too. So she's saying, I think you're going to kiss me, marry me, and kill me. So maybe I'm worried that means she's like, maybe we'll do all of it, but I don't know that we'll end up forever. Maybe we'll get married, but like, I don't know. It's too dark for me. I don't want to like acknowledge that or say that. Like she's saying like, but then we'd end up divorced, because I don't know why I'm betting on all three for us too. Interesting. I'm not sure what that means. Get My Car Door, isn't that sweet? Obviously, that moment in New York, their first time seen together, that first night, he gets her car door, and you see her be like confused, like, oh my gosh, you're getting the door for me? And then he pulls her to the back seat. No one's ever had me, not like you. Hot. They did it in the limo. You know how to ball. I know Aristotle. Brand new, full throttle. Touch me while your pros play Grand Theft Auto. It's true. Scout's honor. Like, it's true. This is true. This is real. This is like Scout's honor. This is not a PR relationship. Like, it's just as funny to me as it is to everybody else, but it is the real. It's real to me and it's real to him. You knew what you wanted, and boy, you got her. So cute. I love this. I feel like laughing in the middle of practice. Do that impression you did of your dad again. I'm hearing voices like a madman. So he must have like a funny impression of his dad that he does. So adorable. And then it ends, and it's like, ooh, it's just like feel good butterflies. Like, yeah, you feel like you're in high school and you like this boy. And like, I don't know, is he going to kiss me? Are we the real deal? Is it going to end? I don't even know. I don't care. It's so great. I haven't felt like this ever before. So I love that she alludes to like he's always cracking her up. Like she's in practice for a tour, and she's like, she'll just start laughing out of nowhere, thinking about something Travis said. Their relationship seems so fun to me. Like seeing them together at Coachella, like they were laughing, cracking up, dancing. Like I just haven't seen Taylor let loose, let go, and have so much fun in so many years. It's such a blast. It's such a blast. That is the Tortured Poets Department, lobotomies galore this weekend. Thank you for hanging out with me. I know that was so long, and that was really fun. We'll do a poll on if I need to go through the second part of the album. I don't know. Everybody, like I said, by the time this weekend is over, it's like you guys are already going to like have read every think piece on what every song is about. So I don't know that you really will care about me by Monday. I don't know if I feel like doing all that. Again, this is long. It's long to go through every song. But I hope this was fun. Sorry this was so long, but I just had so much to do. So, yeah. Tell me in the Keith Servetus Facebook group what your three top songs are. I could talk about this for 8 hours. Like, there's going to be things, too, that I discover and, like, reading what other people say. Like, there's going to be so many aha moments over the weekend. I'm going to be like, oh, my gosh, oh, my gosh, oh, my gosh. And mostly, like, you need to be following me on Twitter at YoAlexRaps with a Z, because that's where I'm, like, retweeting and, like, liking everything that I think is interesting. And so you need to be following me on Twitter if you're not. That's where it's going to be, like, real time, you know, acknowledging fun things about these two albums. Okay, I love you so much. What a fun weekend. Wow. It's post Taylor clarity, right? Okay. Bye.